Well, come along and let's see what we can do for you. We then went into another room. What's your name? Oh, yes. Sit down, please. Where were you hit? Oh, I had a bad time there, didn't you? How long were you out? Feel all right now? Quite, I replied, with the exception of a buzzing row in my ears. Oh, yes, you had shell shock a bit. Lost any weight? Played golf or tennis? Yes, on Saturday, sir. Feel tired after it? Yes, sir. Do you think you're fit for active service? Yes, sir. Then he began writing. We find that he is still somewhat debilitated and would be benefited by a further month's leave. At this I was somewhat staggered. Yes, get about as much as you can. That'll be all, Mr. Thurlow. Good morning.
Dear Edward, the powers that be are asking for more names of people from our hospital to go abroad. I have no great enthusiasm to go or stay, except to go to France, as one can't feel wildly interested in any new departure concerned with work one dislikes anyhow.
Dear Vera, I wonder if you really will be going overseas soon. My own chances of going are now considerably less than ever. Of course, we are very comfortable here, and it is a very soft job. But I expect I shall make another attempt to go overseas. If you manage to go, I shall feel a bigger scrimshanker than ever.
First London General, 31st of May, 1916. Dear Edward, Victor and I had supper at the Trocadero on Sunday night. He was in one of his excitable moods and almost forgot to salute in his anxiety to know what the news was of you. He somewhat surprised me by a very decided announcement that he intends after the war to go into the church. I don't know what you think about these things, but I do know that when you went to the front, your opinions were altering rapidly, and my own common sense would tell me that what you have done and seen there must have changed them rapidly still more, even if I had not gathered as much from what Tarr and Thurlow say about your letters. Why do you not write to me about these things? I don't know much about Thurlow, but I am certain that, just for the moment, I could understand your troubles and difficulties better than the temporarily orthodox Tarr. I have not only long passed the date when I realized I could never be orthodox again, but I have also seen more of the horrors of war than he has. I must admit that when I have to deal with men who have only half a face left, or part of their skull torn away, or an arm blown off at the shoulder, it makes me begin to question the existence of a merciful God, just as Tarr says you do. War is an immense purgation, the washing out, as the master of the temple said recently, of the sins of the world in streams of innocent blood. Of course, it is all terrible for individuals who are sacrificed in apparently disregarded numbers and seemingly lost sight of in the great immensity. But one can only hope that in some hereafter, these and those that lost them will one day realize the whole and see what it all meant. And perhaps we are preparing a double work, that of making an end to war at the same time. For they that live by the sword shall perish by the sword, and so war could only be abolished by war itself.
Ingatestone, 11th of June, 1916. Dear Vera, I am delighted that Edward is home on leave at last. I had a marvellous evening with him on Thursday, 4 precious hours together. Yet, of those 4 hours, we literally spent the first 2 in breaking the ice. I suppose the army is like a freezing mixture. One shuts oneself up from people so that it actually seems easier to write to you and Edward than to talk to you. I think there is no doubt that Edward feels the terror and horror of it all most acutely. I am more than ever convinced that it is worse for him than it was for Roland. Edward entirely lacks any primitive warring side to his character, such as Roland possessed. One feels with Edward that he is sustained by duty alone. After speaking of the dullness of the trenches, Roland wrote something like this: I hear we are going to Ypres. I hope it may be true, better the clash of blades than this monotonous existence. Edward just said very quietly and almost irrelevantly, The thought of those lines of trenches gives me a sick feeling in the stomach.
First London General, 15th of